I'd like to welcome everyone to the North Salt Lake City Council work session for March 7th, 2023. And our first item is David Franson talking about dog parks. And not pet cemeteries, Natalie. I know.
Can I ask a question about the road base? I'm not a dog owner, so I may not know, but small pebbles could get stuck between their toe pads, right? Is that a, would that be a problem?
No, that's the beauty.
How far do you, where do you have to hook onto the sewer and the water at?
My slide showed. Is there another slide by free chance? Did it get so where you come in on the Woods Cross side, so the north side of the actual dog park that's there, what we're talking about.
Okay.
That's, it's just right at the top, so it's not super far.
So the water's coming from the street up there is what you're...
So we would lay it right through the middle of the parking lot to that.
Okay, sewer and water, is that where it's coming from? The sewer line's all the way down the street, you just have to hook onto it. Okay, good.
So crews can run them, I mean, it's really, it's It's not a horrible project.
Okay.
Our crews are helping to do it well.
Is the entire dog park on Woods Cross property?
Yes.
The whole thing?
What's your dog property in Woods Cross?
Okay. And then I remember, this is really exciting to me. You know, we have talked about this for like 5 years. At one point, there was conversation of having it on the south side of the park in some of that open space. What was the thinking about why we moved away from that?
I would think that that would be, I think the same reason I like that as an option B still, when we talked about some of the other spots that if Woods Cross doesn't want to play with us, that's one of them. I think the only negative of that site is the residents right there, because the Bountiful's residents, we've got some stories today, some of the stuff that they've dealt with, which I mean, I get it. I don't want a dog park behind my house, but I get it. You know, I don't know. Maybe they would like it. I don't know. That's, I guess I shouldn't say it that way. But there's a couple of locations, maybe if Woods Cross doesn't want to be involved with this.
I spoke to one Woods Cross person, it was not about this, but this came up, and they expressed that their biggest concern was just the cost. And if there's any ways to just bring the cost down, like using recycled playground equipment from other parks instead of purchasing new stuff, and there might be a safety hazard for doing that, I don't know, but just if getting Woods Cross City's interest to participate is low, that might be a negotiating tactic.
Yeah, and like I said, I think a lot of the stuff you can do, you saw like some of the pictures I have there, we have like old pipe we can get for free, you know, fire hydrants, we can build some stuff. And a lot of that dog food is not crazy expensive. I mean, the shade structures are fairly expensive, things like that. But I mean, I think that there's value into doing it right and doing it nice. Some of those amenities, some of those things you can add later too. It's getting the infrastructure, getting it set up initially correct, like getting the sewer, getting the water, getting the fences, getting the trail around it, getting that main stuff done is the important stuff.
Do you anticipate that this will create additional dog issues at Legacy Park, people bringing their dogs over? Or it could do the opposite, where we say, no, that's the dog area, just don't come over this way.
It sounds counterintuitive and almost stupid, but I think for us, like the ability to say, look, dogs are allowed over here, they're allowed over there, is a lot easier than
This is exciting. Thank you.
I think this looks great. I think you've done a good job, and I look forward to seeing. I have gone down there and used that little strip that they call a dog park now a couple of times. And
I like that you're utilizing land that's just sitting there and kind of wasted, too.
Yeah, I do, too. I think it's a good idea. Everything looks good. And if we can use city crews or even volunteers, or if we can even solicit for a little money for donations, those kind of things, I think could all help on there. But yeah, I like your ideas and concepts really well.
Okay. Thanks, David. Next item is the discussion on the implementation of the city's active transportation plan for a dedicated bike lane on Orchard Drive. And Allie Avery will be presenting. Thanks, Allie.
The recommended network for implementation. So everything that is blue or red is an on-street facility, some type of a bike lane. I think we have some pretty good direction as far as the green and brown facilities, which are more pedestrian focused. So those would be like side paths that are separated from traffic, more of like a wider sidewalk, and then our hillside trails. What we're not totally certain about is how quickly you want us to move on some of the active transportation projects that are on street. And in particular, we've looked at a couple of the higher priority projects that are listed in the active transportation plan, which would be Orchard Drive, a separated bike lane on Orchard Drive, and the buffered bike lane on Eagle Ridge Drive. And as we've been looking at these projects, we weren't sure exactly how the council wants us to move forward with these projects. There are a couple of different options. If you can go to the next slide, please. This is from the Active Transportation Plan. It shows a cross-section of what the buffered bike lane on Eagle Ridge Drive would look like, which is existing, and then the proposed cross-section. And so we can approach this as trying to address all the challenges that we would face with implementation of these projects ahead of time, and seeing how we could mitigate those. The Orchard Drive separated bike lane has some significant challenges that we would need to figure out. There is not parking currently allowed in any bike lane, and so enforcement of parking in the bike lane would be a big one. Especially with the separated bike lane, it would make it impossible. It's not impossible. People will still try, I'm certain. But it would make it more difficult to park in the bike lane. So we'd have to have more heavy enforcement of parking in the bike lane. Trash pickup, mail and package delivery, snow removal, street sweeping, how we address the bus stops, frequency of driveways, and then of course budget. Those are all challenges with the separated bike lane. And to back up a little bit, a separated bike lane is a bike lane that has a physical separation from traffic. It's on the street, it shares the same right of way, it's on the street, but it does have some type of a physical separation. Whether that be like a curb, or it could be flexible delineators just in the roadway. And we have looked at some flexible delineators that could be removed in the winter time so that you could just plow over the top in the winter. So we are actively looking for solutions to some of these issues. But it would change the character of Orchard Drive. Right now, it's single family primarily. And this would make it so that people could not park in front of their homes. And so we don't want to take this lightly. We want to make sure that we're approaching this thoughtfully. The Eagle Ridge Drive buffered bike lane, a buffered bike lane is just paint on the ground. And so that would provide a separation from traffic additional to just the standard stripe. So it just provides an extra foot or two of buffer from traffic. And with the Eagle Ridge Drive buffered bike lane, the recommendation in the Active Transportation Plan from our consultants was to restrict parking.
As they picked their mode of active transportation, area residents and leaders gathered on a ride to support dedicated lanes designed to protect those who ride bikes and e-scooters. While the temporary bike lane on South Main was cordoned off from traffic, it also included green-painted bike symbols on the road, giving cyclists a sense of security.
Well, when you put paint on the road that says this space is for cyclists and not cars, cyclists then know this is where I need to ride. Cars now know this is not where I need to travel. And they'll give you that little extra piece of room that makes you feel safer, even when the barriers aren't up.
Bike enthusiasts are excited about the possibilities these types of dedicated lanes will provide, not only for them, but for future generations.
From a kid that was come down in southern Utah at 10 years old to ride around, to now being a father who has a child who's gonna ride her bike around, I wanna make sure she's riding in a safe environment, an environment where, you know, she can get on her bike, ride from point A to point B, be completely safe.
The idea is also to get rid of the conflict between cyclists riding on sidewalks, typically used by pedestrians.
And so by putting in bike lanes, we can remove that conflict, we can enhance road safety for the cyclists, and we can repurpose our really large and wide roads in the state.
UDOT is playing a supportive role in making sure the designs were up to spec. The location of this bike lane was chosen to help tie in the trails that end at Bluff onto Main Street.
Where I think we could actually put this road on a diet, skinny it up a little bit, and have a bike lane like this, which is a two-way bike lane, and link it right into the heart of town.
Funds to convert this temporary lane were obtained in a grant through SPIN, which provides e-scooters for shorter trips, which also ease pollution.
I think it's a really fun way to get around, and I hope this lane gives people the opportunity and the comfort that they may not have existing to hop on a scooter, hop on a bike, walk, use the multimodal lane for what it's meant to.
Transformative projects like this are considered dirt cheap compared to creating more lanes of traffic.
It helps us get out of our cars and get to know our neighbors. It reduces the noise within our cities. Companies increasingly want to locate in bike-friendly cities to attract the young workers that they need for tech and creative fields. Safe bicycling conditions provide our lower-income residents with the opportunity to get jobs, education, stores, and transit to be able to reach those things without having to put a lot of money into buying a car.
Although this is only temporary now, if implemented in time, more dedicated space will help cyclists feel safe while getting to and from their destinations.
So that we can do this in places where it makes sense for those who are cycling.
The exercise also helps promote health, lessening chronic health issues down the road.
A city designed for an 8-year-old walking to school to an 80-year-old wanting to visit friends or family or buy groceries. This is about getting people active, it's about getting people out.
So. Those in support of the idea are encouraged to try out the new bike lane and send their feedback to the city.
And if those paths lead to a city street that go to, you know, where they need to go to shop or to work or to play, then that's going to have a great impact on our overall transportation system. So.
From the bike lane on Main, Melissa Anderson, Community Education News.
That's a great video. So we are just really excited to have the support from the council that has been expressed in supporting active transportation and implementing our active transportation plan. And we hope that this could be a way to energize it and really. Technology, isn't it fantastic? Where was I? We are just super excited to have this conversation with the council to find out what you want us to prioritize. We can certainly prioritize the list of projects in there and then go out to design and try to work through these problems, or we could try this pilot program and maybe put this on Orchard Drive and see how it goes and find out how much of a parking problem we have, to find out how much of a problem we have with where we, you know, with garbage pickup. and to find out if there's a lot of interest. It really will help, in my opinion, get some momentum on implementing our active transportation plan and getting people more excited about our bike routes in the city. So with that, I would like to turn it over to the council to give us some feedback and direction and discussion.
So I love this idea on Orchard. I think this is great. I have a question about Eagle Ridge. Are we going to have one bike lane with an up and a down on Eagle Ridge? Or are we going to have a bike lane on each side?
It would be a bike lane on each side, but the parking would only be restricted on one side.
Okay.
So we have room for, in our current width of the street, we have room for parking on the uphill side, then the bike lane, the buffer, traffic lane, buffer.
I was just having nightmares about people going up, getting crashed into by people going down, and it would be bad. So that's a really great plan. I think this is great.
And I did want to just clarify, Karen reminded me that the striping is really just about a third of the length of Eagle Ridge. It's the pavement preservation program, so it isn't the full length at this time that we have in the budget.
And the buffer bike lane is only scheduled from Eagle Point Drive down to the roundabout. Then it's just a standard bike lane from there.
So does that sure overlap that third? Okay.
Yeah, it does. So the section of road that we did at the top with the mill and fill last summer is due for an asphalt preservation treatment. And so that extends down into that section, but it's only the very top portion of the road. And the reason that's significant is once we do the asphalt preservation, the old paint, of course, is completely covered. So we wouldn't have to remove it.
I'd just like to say in the past, historically, a while ago when we striped the bike lane on the roads and then people would park in them, and then sometimes they'd get warning. I don't think they were even tickets, but I got several calls from people that were pretty upset about us not letting them park in front of their house. So I know that that could be an issue because we all think the street in front of our house is ours. So I know that's going to be one of the things. I do like the idea. I do have a little concern, and I don't know how it's been addressed in other places, but I know when we have such steep hills, if people are coming down in a bike lane and somebody backs their car in front of them, people die. We had a young man die several years ago. He's in Bountiful on one of their steep streets, and car backed in front of him, and that was the end of him. And it was pretty sad. So a little bit of a concern just on the hillside. So we have having bike lanes next to driveways and residential areas, and I don't know how you address that, but I'm almost wondering that active transportation shouldn't just be out in the street on the downhill side, because they can generally keep up with the traffic speed-wise and gives them a little bit of room to get out of the way if somebody starts backing up. But that's just my thoughts.
I have a concern about restricting parking as well. I can, seems like when we first did this on Eaglewood Drive, there was just an understanding, you know, we painted bike lanes, but they share it with parking, and it doesn't have the volume of traffic, you know, to be much of a problem. They seem to both coexist. I think, I like what they're proposing there on Eagle Ridge as a traffic calming device, slowing cars down. But I can promise, as fast as the cars go down there, the bikes go down faster. and then Orchard seems really problematic. I just don't know how to they can all coexist there. It's too narrow of a road.
You mean the parking seems problematic? Is that the part?
All aspects of it, too. But
Doesn't seem like as many people park on Orchard, but there's a few.
Yeah.
And then the other thing
there's
is...
There's one house, for sure.
Yeah, there's one house, for sure, that you know, has a lot of park in front of it. And so I think... But, you know, all the issues you brought up are all valid issues. And I can see where it could be...
It might be interesting. So are we talking midsummer, like August?
Well, if the council wanted to give us direction to move forward with this, then we would go back as a staff and come up with a plan of implementing the pilot program and come back to you with whatever the cost association would be and what we think the data is that we want to collect and how we will collect it while we're operating the pilot
program. It might be interesting to put the cones in and see how it works or whatever.
Yeah. When I think about this as a... just the logical pathways of what kinds of decisions we could make. All of these kinds of concerns that Ali listed are real and significant. And I don't see that let's say that we tried to work them out in concept and develop an agreement before implementing it, and then implement it completely physically. There's so much risk in that. We don't know how the community is going to come to it. Would they trust the solutions that we've put in place? That doesn't seem like a realistic option to just put in place a protected bike lane and then think, okay, now we'll work it out. So that rules it out. On the other end is the idea of abandoning our active transportation plan, which I personally really hate that idea. And I think that, you know, there's this fundamental question of, well, hey, we don't see a lot of people bicycle. Well, it's because we have crappy bike opportunities. We just have unsafe opportunities generally. And so we're in this like catch 22, right? The catch 22 of, well, anyway. So this is just this idea of like, look, in the face of all this, maybe a low risk thing to do relatively is to just try it, get the data, and then go from there. And, you know, then we can postpone a hard conversation about, so do we want to move forward with A, B, or C? And we'll just have way better data. And we'll have a much more informed populace on it. So I just think I can't see another option than this one. And to me, it feels like, let's do it. Let's figure out how to do it. What's the right way to do it? Even on a temporary basis, there's questions to work through. But I just am having a hard time figuring out a better general path than this one.
Need a little bit more information that I probably missed along the way. These two roads, were they identified in the active transportation plan, or how did we come to decide that these were the two? So they've been sitting there as this is our top priority.
Yeah, so in the active transportation plan, we were able to prioritize the different routes. And the Orchard Drive one had the by far, and so the active transportation plan was a joint effort between us, Bountiful City, and Centerville City. Bountiful and Centerville have not yet adopted it, but Bountiful is working on adopting it through their general plan process, which is supposed to be done this summer. So we had a whole public process. We had public input. There was an online survey where people could click on the map and show routes that were of interest or routes that had problems. And Orchard Drive was by far the highest interest route of all of them in South Davis County. So that was the highest priority as far as the public process went. Eagle Ridge Drive was prioritized high, and they created that little cut sheet for Eagle Ridge Drive because it was kind of low-hanging fruit with the higher impact. And so we had a whole prioritization sheet that had different things like access to transit and cost and all those things. And so they were all rated according to this prioritization. And Eagle Ridge Drive was one of the highest ones because it's just paint, but it can make a big difference. So that's why those two are the higher priority projects. And the rest of them, those are really the only, there's the separated bike lane and the buffered bike lane, and then the rest of them are just kind of standard bike lanes. And so those are the two projects, the separated and buffered bike lane, that are a little different than what we've always done. And that's why I highlighted those two projects in particular.
I just want to add, first of all, I was here when we did the active transportation plan, and I think it's really important and that we mostly got it right. The other thing I want to add is there's a balance out there that maybe people who want to park in front of their house don't understand all the way. But I think I don't have a problem asking people. I do am concerned about people coming down that road really fast and people jaywalking. But I don't think it's too much to say, we're going to limit your parking a little bit to increase the safety for these people because we're a community and we balance things in a community. So I would like to do the trial, especially on Orchard, but maybe on both, just to see how it works.
I like the idea of the trial as well. I share this concern about jaywalking. If people are only allowed to park on one side of the road and everybody goes down that road really, really fast, could part of the data collection be, we see some points that maybe need to be crosswalks where we have them painted across the road so that there could be some traffic calming measures like crosswalks that people, when they're coming down this road, know you're going to have several ways and reasons you might need to be slowing down. Just maybe find some, or think about if there are some places, and there might not be good places for that, but maybe.
I was just going to say, I'm a fairly law-abiding citizen, and I wouldn't walk up to a crosswalk. I'd just cross the street where my car is parked if I was parking there.
It does give a few places, though, where it is safer. Like, people might still crosswalk, but if a car had to slow down 100 feet up above you, your jaywalking might not be quite as risky.
Yeah. Well, I think there's a whole bunch of detailed questions like this that we can maybe ask staff to work through and think about what we do. I'm just, and here, then I'll now just go about ignoring my own advice, okay? My two cents on the Eagle Ridge is, let's go ahead and paint the side that would be the same either way. In other words, let's paint the side that includes parking. Let's just paint that consistent with our final design, and let's hold on the other side. And perhaps, anyway, think through that. Maybe the other side is part of a trial. Think through that. Okay, I'll stop talking on that one. I can see. And then Orchard, the issue that I'm trying to think through on Orchard is logical start and end to the trial. And I feel like we have such a synergy with Bountiful, and there's an elementary school at Bolton. We should at least get ourselves to Bolton. Get Bountiful to work with us at least on that stretch. Now, another idea is to go on Second West and go all the way to the South Davis Rec Center and have it be much bigger, where it's maybe triple the size. But I think that it makes sense for us to sit down and chat with Bountiful and just kind of see. I think that, my opinion, we should do it no matter what, but it's better to do it with Bountiful to have a logical end point.
So to dovetail onto that, Orchard is the key to this, It's the one people use. It's not steep hills. It's, but it as you go around the bend and hit Beck Street, it becomes, we could call it the Beck Street death trap. And so maybe we should be dealing with Salt Lake City here too.
On that. Not for long, though.
Salt Lake City's plans to improve that on Beck Street. And I can't remember if it was part of the EIS or part of the enhanced bus.
It's part of the EIS.
Okay. They are planning on improving that. So you're not against 55-mile-per-hour traffic.
So I also think once once we get cyclists to the roundabout, they have choices. They can go on Beck Street or they can go on the trail. And that commuter trail is used a lot to get into downtown.
But we're still trying to solve the problem of maintaining it in such a way that people...
Well, I take my chance on the trail, but once you get down out of Davis County, does the trail end?
Yes.
Kind of.
Yeah.
But it's just a shoulder.
But but even so, I've got people that tell me they won't ride that trail. They'll ride on the freeway, which is illegal, because of the dirt and the gravel and the chances of you...
You don't mean freeway. You mean like...
Back Street.
Right?
Well, I guess it'd be the collector.
It's not like you definitely cannot ride on the freeway.
No, I said it was illegal, but I'm sure even the collectors, they're not supposed to be riding on, but they will because our trail is oftentimes covered with gravel and dirt and slippery and it feels dangerous, so they don't ride it. Now, we've talked about making some improvements on that, and I think we've tried a little bit and try to keep it swept and clean, but we know that there's low spots where the water runs off of the frontage road and brings all the dirt and gravel back on the trail. And the people that are serious active transportation users, they let me know that that's not acceptable and they won't ride it. So I think those problems need to be resolved too before we jump into all these other ones, because again, where are you riding to? If you're going to ride down to something that you don't think is acceptable, because it's, I don't like riding in slippery, gravelly sand stuff with a bike when I'm trying to get to work. You just, I mean, you probably won't die because a car's going to run you over, but certainly got a high likelihood that you could slip and fall and crash. So, anyway.
I do think there's a difference, though, between our city's active transportation plan and some kind of commuting plan into Salt Lake, because... I am, the cyclists in my family will go from my neighborhood to Eagle Ridge to drive, to ride up it. They're not ever going to go from my neighborhood to Orchard Drive onto Beck Street or onto the commuter trail, because they're not riding as commuters. They're riding as people who want to bike safely in their community. So there may be problems with that commuter trail that we definitely need to figure out, but I don't think it needs to affect the recreational plans that we're working on as well.
I think one contingent of our residents who will not be interested in this are the D-lawlesses out there, who have already told me that they think trails and bike facilities are unnecessary. So you're going to get some backlash from a certain segment of the population that don't see any value in this. I'm not one of them, but there are those out there. My idea, I think, would be to do a pilot program on Orchard, and I agree with Ted. I think you utilize the painting that's in the budget and paint the one side and let it be free flow and see the interest for Eagle Ridge as part of the pilot, but don't create the bike lane on the downhill side.
I have another suggestion. As the striping projects continue to come up, I would like, if there was a consideration looking at the different roads that will then be striped, to just say, is this a road we would want a bike lane on, even if it's not in the active transportation plan, but it has such a synergy and it's just extra paint, that just is something that's an ongoing question, so that, you know, eventually we could kind of pepper the whole city with a few bike lanes here and there.
Yeah. We plan to currently currently the active transportation facilities and the trails are not in our capital facilities plan. We are working with engineering to do that now moving forward. So we're going to have those in the capital facilities plan and we can do exactly what you said.
Can I interject something? One of the focus on the paint, it's fairly inexpensive to create a bike lane or to relocate the striping. Just so everyone on council is aware, we restripe every road in the city every year. So the issue, we already have budgeted striping for the city. The issue is removing the existing paint lines so that you don't have those multiple lines that are confusing. And so the idea of pairing them with a street preservation program allows us to not have to remove existing striping and prevents that ghosting or that double line problem. Some of the lines fade very, very quickly, and some of them not so much. So this isn't a one-time only opportunity, and Allie and I have been working to try and dovetail some of this a little better. But we do preservation on a rotating basis. So it may be 7 years, that cycle comes again. And I'm not recommending we wait. I just wanted you to know that the cost of the paint isn't, it doesn't create a false sense of urgency because we could do it next year if that were better timing and better thought. The idea of doing, if we're going to do Eagle Ridge, doing part of that work while there is no striping to be removed would be beneficial. So
I have two more things about that. One, there are, at least in my neighborhood, several lanes that are striped that I think are for bikes, but as far as I've seen, there's nothing to indicate that they are for bikes, except for intuitive sense. Could in the striping there be a consideration of where could we paint those little bike figures along those bike lanes that already exist? And some of them, well, like, I agree with what Ted said, that the infrastructure might be there, but people aren't using it because I would feel unsafe. But to just see that little bike image would make me feel like, nope, see, this is where people can ride their bikes, and this is where cars should not be. And then my second question or comment is about curbs. Are the curbs painted across the city all once per year as well?
No. So the first question, the fairly, I mean, old school or traditional method of striping bike lanes is what currently exists in the city. And that's a bike symbol that is painted at the entrance to a bike lane where the lane begins, including at a street break. So where there's a gap in the line, there's a small white symbol in the bike lane that indicates the bike. This year, we did not repaint the bike symbols because they get very little wear. We typically paint those every other year or depending on the visibility. Red curbing does not get painted every year. There was, over the last 4 or 5 years, the red curbing was done in pieces. And in going through kind of our processes and our work in the last 6 or 9 months, I identified that the red curb had been relocated from the map by others. They were deleting the ones we weren't doing that year and then not putting them back on the map. So my intern has now gone out and checked every red curb in the city. This year, we'll do all the red curbing. The idea is about once every 4 years, so it's going to create a little problem if we do them all the same year. But the red curb definitely needs to be refreshed in the city.
Would it be upsetting if somebody were to buy a can of red paint and just do it themselves?
Well, people like to create their own red curb.
No, but I mean where the red curb should be.
Right.
And if it's off of the schedule for that every fourth year. Is there a problem with that?
So there's really not a problem as long as they're not enlarging or adding a red curb area, which people do. Part of the concern would be the longevity and the type of paint. But if it doesn't last very long and the city didn't do it, I don't think that that's a huge issue. When the stripers do, they come along and they paint. They have a machine that paints along the side of the curb, and those edges are very distinct. But I've heard of red curb projects that can be painted by volunteers or scouts. What we have found is that including that as part of our map and our striping program, it gives us better control. We have a better product. And what we'd like to do is make sure that the red curb is continuously refreshed so that it's always visible and will do its job.
All right, thank you. You have your marching orders. You're probably confused at this point, but I think we want to just try it, do some trial runs and that.
So we'll work on those. We'll work on the trial program to bring back to the council in a few weeks on how we might do a pilot on both of these roads. That's what I think I heard.
Okay.
Thank you.
I think it was on our to-do list, too, though, to look at that trail going to Salt Lake and see if we could make some improvements by raising the low spots at least. And I know they've been trying to sweep it once in a while, but it's
a problem. It definitely needs work.
You know, if we get or put something under, you know, I don't know. Civil engineers can figure it out, but obviously what happens is the low spots get covered with gravel and dirt, and yet you can either raise them up or maybe find a way to get the water to go someplace else. So anyway.
All right, let's take a quick break, and we'll reconvene in five and a half minutes.